we've all heard about the burnout. We've all heard about the staffing issues, and those are all very real. So we have to change as educators to look more holistically at the nursing student to make sure they are developed not only academically, but physically, emotionally, mentally, so they have those resilient pieces that they can take with them.
The Medical Alley podcast is brought to you by MentorMate. MentorMate empowers healthcare clients to deliver on their mission and transform the human experience through technology. For over 20 years, clients have trusted MentorMate to guide their vision, design innovative products, and build secure solutions while understanding the specific nuances of their industry. MentorMate's global team in the U.S., Eastern Europe, and Latin America helps clients in all sectors of healthcare transform their organizations. From Fortune 500 pharmaceutical companies and commercial payers to hospital systems, medical device manufacturers, and beyond. Learn more at mentormate.com/healthcare.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone out there in Medical Alley. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Medical Alley podcast. We have what I think will be a very interesting episode, but also a really important episode. I'm so glad to be joined by the Dean of the School of Nursing at St. Catherine University, Laura Farrow. Dean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Maybe the place we could start would be, can you tell us a little bit of your story, of your journey into nursing, and then into nursing education?
Absolutely. So my journey to nursing started very young. I had was very, very close to my grandparents growing up, and my grandfather was a brittle diabetic, but he was also a farmer and also a very headstrong man, did not manage his disease process very well. So at about five, I started to learn a little bit about diabetes and actually would observe him trying to treat himself with insulin and figured out that he was giving his insulin through his overalls, which went nowhere. So I was able to, you know, learn more about the disease process and help him to manage his insulin injections. And really at that point, understood that we have to meet people where they are and really provide a holistic approach to care. So I was an older, not older adult, but I was in my early 20s when I decided to go to college, and nursing was a great fit for me, especially as an adult with other responsibilities. You know, going back was a life-changing experience.
And then you practiced as a nurse for a number of years. What made you make the switch to go into nursing education?
So that is a very long story. I was originally a critical care nurse, and I had a mentor of mine say, you know what, you should check out the leadership side of things. So I've managed to, you know, grow as a leader on the delivery side, and I've lived in 11 states in 30 years.
Wow.
And really another pivotal place was the University of Pittsburgh for me. And they offered me a full scholarship, the chief nursing executive there, to go back and do my doctorate, my PhD, as long as I studied new graduate nurses and their critical thinking abilities. And when I did that, I was able to really dive into the technology of nursing in the simulation space and switched at that point to faculty and have worked my way up through leadership to a dean position.
Oh, very interesting. I'm curious. You talked about studying new graduates. Can you expand a little bit on that? Because I'm actually really curious about this. What did that involve when you were studying it? And as you've gone through your career on the nursing education side, how has it changed how we're preparing, let's say, the new graduates to go into what, as I understand it, is a relatively different field today, especially as we, I won't say post-pandemic, but wherever we are in the world with all of the changes that have been wrought in healthcare.
Absolutely. So new graduate nurses or nursing students are really under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It is a very demanding degree. And the mix of critical thinking and the heart of caring is what we are looking for with nursing students. And being able to really move forward with that critical thought and emotional intelligence is extremely important. So when I was studying new grads, it was really the ability to understand where their critical thought process was. Mm. So in other words, could they identify a problem? Could they anticipate what to do next? Because nurses are at the bedside 24/7.
Yeah.
They are the biggest healthcare profession. Mm-hmm. And without a very educated and forward-thinking nurse, you actually can miss many things,
right,
with critical patient situations. So as an educator, we have to invest that time and development of a new grad. And when they are finished with their education, they're basically left on their own to transition into new practice in a new area, in a new organization. And some will progress very quickly. Some will need a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. So the studies that I did really involved measuring their critical thinking in a simulated situation,
yeah,
to find out what they were struggling with and to help them identify their areas of growth so they could take that with them as they entered the healthcare workforce.
Oh, fascinating. You know, we know there's been so much change in the last couple of years, and what was already a high pressure job became unbearably high pressure in many cases. How do you see the nursing students preparing today? Are we having to do different things to prepare them for the world they're entering now? Or are we getting to the point where the things maybe are beyond the job or the capability of a school to prepare them for?
So, you know, this is my 30th year of nursing. So when I went through nursing school and transitioned, it was difficult, but the outside pressures weren't as high. Mm. So this is not the only pandemic we're going to see in my lifetime.
Indeed.
And one of the largest percentage of nurses that are leaving the profession are those with 1 to 5 years of experience.
Oh, wow.
We've all heard about the burnout. Mm-hmm. We've all heard about the staffing issues, and those are all very real. So we have to change as educators to look more holistically at the nursing student to make sure they are developed not only academically, mm-hmm. but physically, emotionally, mentally, so they have those resilient pieces mm-hmm. that they can take with them. Because, again, the healthcare system is in crisis. It's been mm-hmm. in crisis for a while before the pandemic even
Indeed.
Started. So what are we going to do different? How are we going to prepare our healthcare providers differently? How are we going to support them once they're there? And how are we going to help with this level of burnout, retirement, and leaving yeah. the profession? And it honestly really concerns me. Mm-hmm. It concerned me before the pandemic, and it's very concerning now. And we really have to flip the model of healthcare, especially for nurses mm-hmm. at this point, to help them find the joy in their work again, to help them understand that there is a purpose for what they do, but to provide an environment that is very, very supportive, mm-hmm. collaborative, and lifts them up in the profession.
Yeah. And maybe to that end, you know, one of the things that's unique about the work of Medical Alley is we have the payers, the providers, and the technology firms all at the table, because we think it takes all of them to get to a healthy patient. What advice or suggestions or recommendations might you have to some of the other parts of the healthcare ecosystem that could help in reducing that burnout or make the environment more conducive? Because when I hear you say biggest rate of turnover or burnout is in that 1 to 5 year, that gives me a bit of a chill, because mm-hmm. that is our future workforce for the next couple of decades.
So you're absolutely correct, and that is why I love your approach, is that it is not a siloed solution. Yeah. It is collaborative, and it involves all the interprofessional players in making sure that our healthcare environment is safe. Mm-hmm. It is collaborative. And it is focused on better outcomes for patients. Mm-hmm. That's what feeds us as healthcare yeah. professionals. So when that's not happening and the level of stress and burnout is very high, it's going to impact those patient outcomes. Mm-hmm. So we really have to, in my opinion, flip the system on its head and really, I think, build ground up again.
Yeah.
To provide a cultural environment that is both inclusive, it's diverse, mm-hmm. it's open, it is a place where people can share ideas and be creative. It's not just the task of taking care of a patient, mm-hmm. which is absolutely important, but it's the environment in which we deliver care, mm-hmm. and that's going to take everybody.
Indeed. And you mentioned building a diverse and inclusive environment, mm-hmm. and this is something I think St. Catharines has been known for a long time in its commitment to social justice. How does that play out in nursing education and in the work that you and your team are doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what brought me to the cities 4 years ago, was the mission and vision of St. Catharines. Mm-hmm. It is a women-forward institution, although we have programming that includes men as well. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that brought me there was the absolute dedication to leadership, influence, diversity, equity, and inclusion, cultural competence. We are a minority-serving institution. Mm-hmm. And last year, I'm proud to say, almost 50% of our nursing students were of color or BIPOC wow. students. We have to provide that level of education and the access to the education to infuse into our organizations to make sure that our patients are seeing people like them, mm-hmm. right? Their same color, their same culture, because we know that the healthcare outcomes are better. Mm-hmm. So St. Catharines it's over 100 years of nursing
wow.
education with extremely high outcomes. It's a pleasure for me to go to the organizations and say, oh, I was a Katie nurse. But what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Specifically, what does that mean? And we base their education in very diverse liberal arts that is leveled up in leadership, cultural diversity, collaboration, interprofessional practice, inclusion. Mm-hmm. So it becomes part of who they are. And once they get to the nursing program, then those are all concepts moving forward. Oh. We pride ourselves on over 1,000 clinical contracts, from everything from our big organizations to the smaller community-based organizations who are serving our population that really is impacted by social determinants of health. Mm-hmm. So our students get a holistic approach. We are one of only 15 in the country that are certified in holistic nursing. So it's a very collaborative way to educate our students so they think beyond mm-hmm. the task of nursing and look at the system and are very, very much encouraged to start being system changers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hearing that come through in how you've described the work of the program and the work you're doing, that it is creating critical thinkers who are not just going to take things as they are, but can actually push the mm-hmm. system forward in a positive way.
Absolutely.
I know that can also be then challenging, can be a burden, can be additional work. And you mentioned briefly a little bit about this, but the mental health burdens that the practice can place on a person, especially in today's environment, how does that fit into the program?
So we have very specific rotations around mental health. So that's part of their clinical experience. But more than that, we are seeing a big shift in demographics in our higher education environment. We are seeing students come in with pre-existing mental health conditions of their own. A lot of what was triggered by the pandemic. Yeah. So we have to provide an inclusive environment that's looking at the whole student. And by being able to be a model for that, they then become just elevated to mm-hmm. achieve in a way that they can pay that forward. So we have traditional students. We have adult students who are raising families or working full time. We have graduate students who are working full time and have those same challenges. So we need to develop a very robust system of not only academic support, but mental health and social support for our students so that they can achieve all they can achieve. So we're really looking at funding opportunities at this point to build an excellent center for nursing and health sciences at St. Kate's. And it will be an inclusive process for both our online students and our campus-based students, where we provide a sense of belonging and the ability to share with one another and their faculty in a way that's going to help them succeed.
Ah, and I might say, since we have you here, and since many of our listeners are in different sectors where that work is extremely important to them, if some of our listeners wanted to find out more about that effort, where could we direct them?
So they can definitely contact me. We have an advancement office in which we're working with as well for St. Kate's. But we feel that this is a really big priority for our students.
Yeah,
we want to make sure to prepare them with the tools as they transition to practice, that they have the wherewithal and the emotional intelligence to recognize when they are in trouble and they're looking at burnout and high stress levels, that they can access the resources that they need.
Indeed. And I'm hearing a theme, I think, in all the things you're describing, both in your work and in the program, which it sounds like you're not just making or helping to develop nurses in the technical or clinical sense, but also developing leaders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd be curious for your take on, you know, I think historically there's been this perception of medicine being a physician-dominated or physician-led practice or industry. It seems like nurses are increasingly rising in leadership roles. What do you think the broader role nursing can take in healthcare leadership, not just at the bedside, but in the broader system of health?
So again, I'll go back to really educating with a strong liberal arts foundation and that critical thinking, problem-solving, systems-level approach that we have. Physicians and nurses are partners. They're all the healthcare players are partners in this. And I think that nursing, the way we think, the way that we prioritize things, the way that we see the world and our patients makes a great fit to be a leader, because it's not just about that single delivery spot. It's about the system that the patient functions in. And that could be anything, again, from financial issues to social issues to health issues, family issues. There's everything affects how you deal with disease processes. So nursing is a unique way that we are able to see those things and anticipate what that patient or family may need or what a community may need. So nursing has always had a strong leadership focus.
Yeah.
But I think the world of healthcare is catching up with it a little bit, understanding the level of expertise that we have. Leadership, I transitioned very quickly from direct care to leadership. And nursing has been an incredible, diverse vehicle for me. There are experts in nursing around direct care, critical care, community health, case management, pediatrics, informatics, education. Executive leadership. And that's the beauty of who we are, is that there are so many places we could be and be of influence that's endless.
Yeah. So then what about the role of evolving technologies? And I'd like to talk about it both in terms of education and educating future nurses, and in the care side of things, of, you know, new technologies that improve care or purport to improve care. First, where are you seeing, or what sort of things are you seeing come in from the technology world that are helping or maybe even hindering nursing education?
So I think let's talk about some of the barriers in that there's so much technology that it's requiring nurses to be very adept to new ways of doing things. That requires a learning curve. Most of the technologies are built around evidence-based practice and process improvement, which is wonderful, because the patient outcomes are hopefully better. It improves safety and quality of what we're doing. But that takes a learning curve.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like an iPhone or anything else, there's always a next generation, you know, a year later. So it's expensive, and there's no way that any organization can keep up with that. So they have informatics classes in their education. They understand how to deal with data. And what we do is based in evidence. It is a lot of gut instinct, but the bottom line is it's based in clinical evidence. We have many, many nurse researchers that are doing that work. So technology right now, the for for from the education environment is really around high fidelity simulation and around virtual reality. Mm. So we supplement our clinical hours with about 25% of the high simulation environment or virtual reality. Mm-hmm. The beauty of that is that we can create situations for nursing students to navigate that even if they make mistakes, yeah. it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's the learning process. There's nothing high stakes about it.
Yeah.
So I would much rather have a new nursing student manage a cardiac arrest on a patient that, yes, they may not do well, but there's no permanent damage.
Yeah.
And then we can go back and watch it and say, okay, this is what you did really well, but these are some areas that we need to improve on. Mm-hmm. So it helps our educators to make that focused attempt at helping that student with their critical thinking and their anticipation of what they need to do.
Very interesting. And then I imagine on the practice side, kind of the same thing of, you know, innovations are advancing. They should be rooted in evidence with what I imagine is already such a busy job. Is it kind of the same thing of preparing the nurses to be adaptable, to be able to go into those clinical environments where there could be all kinds of new things coming in that, you know, they may or may not know of until it shows up?
Yes, nurses are fluid, mm-hmm. And they adapt to change very well. So many of our large healthcare partners here in the cities have their own simulation labs. It's used for competency testing. It's, you know, used for those very risky, mm-hmm. critical situations that may be low incident that we don't see very often because we've got to be prepared for anything. Mm-hmm. Disaster training, you know, again, that cardiac arrest or a hemorrhage. Those are things that definitely are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we need the nursing staff and all the providers competent in managing that in a way that they're confident and in a way that's going to produce the best outcome.
Very interesting. So maybe last thing I'll ask as we come to wrap it up, you know, for our listeners out there who might be thinking about a career in nursing, or maybe they have family members or they have children that they want to encourage in this direction, you know, what would you say to them about nursing as a career, as an avocation today, and to encourage them to pursue it?
So I will say right away, we need you. Mm-hmm. If you find that you've got the heart for caring for others, if you can be open to experiences and also understand the scientific piece, we need you. Nurses are never going to be replaced. Mm. Human caring is human caring. And I can't imagine recovering from a major medical incident without what nurses do, which is to help guide us through that and support us wherever we are. So we are starting to actually reach out further into the grade schools and the middle schools and the high schools to get students excited. Nursing provides an incredible amount of flexibility, mm-hmm. not to say at the financial stability that a lot mm-hmm. of us need in this economy. It provides a way to multitask and do different things and explore different things while still being excellent practitioners. Mm-hmm. It offers a pipeline all the way from medical assistants to a certified nursing assistant, all the way to a PhD and a DNP, mm-hmm. depending on where your life takes you and what you're passionate about. So I can't think of another, as I called it before, a vehicle mm-hmm. To live your life with purpose, with grace, and to really serve our populations that need support. And they need help.
Indeed. Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that. And honestly, very thankful for the work you're doing. I think all of us who have ever been a patient know exactly what you're talking about. Nurses make it so much better. So thank you. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And folks, that's been another episode of the Medical Alley podcast. If you're not already a subscriber, make sure to check us out on Apple, Spotify, or at medicalalleypodcast.org. And hey, would you do me one little favor? Would you tell just one person about this episode? Let them know about the good stories that are out there. If everyone listening did that, this story and so many others would reach a broader audience. I'd really appreciate it. Until next time, have a great day.